The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. This hour I've got Michael O. Billington on, and he was the Southeast Asia desk correspondent for the EIR and has been an associate of Mr. LaRouche since 1972, graduating from Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. In the course of his 35-plus year association, he ran for Congress in New York and for Westchester County. Executive in the mid-70s, his political campaigns focused on exposing the fraud of limits to growth, environmentalist and population control mania of the times. In the 80s, he became a leading fundraiser, repeatedly running afoul of, remember, Colonel Ollie North, the Contra support apparatus, in his efforts to organize major political contributions against North's drug and gun running. That's what that was all about, those operations in Central America, and his North's apparatus behind the neoconservatives led by Vice President Dick Cheney. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a jaw-dropper. Your friend there, Don, sent me an email, and a couple hours ago I contacted him, and I said, look, I said, all week this week we've been talking about the Fed, where the funds have been going. We've been skirting around the other major distractions out there that are going on. The Fed and the Caymans, a lot of hidden money going on.
Right.
I mean, tons of it.
Well, the Caymans have always been the primary offshore place for the British. It's basically the British Empire's headquarters, in the sense that the Empire is really the financial oligarchy, centered in London, but involving, you know, New York and people all over the world who are part of this British imperial effort to break sovereign nations, to revive the empire as it's always been intended, not just to control countries directly, but to control their economies. What we've seen in the last month, especially with this complete breakdown in Europe, is more and more of the European leaders, like Tony Blair, like Trichet, the head of the European Union, or the European Central Bank, rather, who are openly saying that the problem in the world is sovereignty. The problem is the old Peace of Westphalia, and that's, we've just outgrown that. We need to have more central control. And he doesn't use the term banker's dictatorship, but, you know, it's exactly what he's saying, and with no effort to hedge that intention. And places like the Caymans are, you know, havens for their dirty money operations, not just to keep dirty money, but to use it in running drugs, international terror operations, and operations against sovereign nations who refuse to give up their sovereignty.
All right, we've got to take this break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll get into the issues here. And money, money, who's hiding the money, and where are they hiding it, and where's it all going? We'll be back right after this.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Prior to you coming on, Michael, I made the observation that the globalists, and using the term empire is kind of a misnomer, because we've seen empires like the Roman Empire, the British Empire. It was said that the United States was trying to build their empire, when in truth, the empire is really the globalist plan. And what they've been doing of late, complaining and hem-hawing that maybe, the European Union is going to break up. Maybe the North American Union is not going to come into play. Maybe that will not be officially inaugurated. And when you think about this, these are the long-term planners, the people that have all the money and the power to control and manipulate. They have a plan B. So when I hear that their European Union and their global plans are breaking up, I, for one, not for one minute, believe that.
Well, they're up against a problem, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the gods of Olympus. So we're standing upon Mount Olympus, thinking that the world will obey their every command. But at a certain point, they can be up there throwing their lightning bolts and stuff. But the mountain is crumbling underneath them, and they're not going to survive. Look at the Ireland situation. You have a government there which is laying over dead, prostrate, allowing the EU and the IMF to dictate so-called Irish banks, which you probably know are they're Irish in name, but the money is all British. And that's why the British and the Europeans are demanding that the government bail them out by indebting themselves. But this government has a very short half-life. It barely made it through this week. It might not make it through next week, and it certainly will not survive through another month or so when they have to have elections. And the Sinn Féin, the political arm of the nationalists who fought for Irish independence, are very rapidly becoming the more popular party in the country and will take over, and they intend to throw this whole IMF deal, this criminal deal, out the window. And the ability to force Germany to come up with the money to bail out, as you might know, they've already put together a $1 trillion fund, which is supposed to bail out the Inter-Alpha Group banks. Are you familiar with the Inter-Alpha Group, John?
Isn't that a group of, 18, 20 banks?
I think it's only about 12 or 13,
okay.
But it's the group put together by Jacob Rothschild in 1971, right when the British asset, George Shultz, succeeded in breaking the U.S. dollar off of gold and letting the floating exchange rate begin, the end of the Bretton Woods system from the Roosevelt time. So at that time, Jacob Rothschild put together this group of banks, basically one leading bank in each of the European countries, with the Royal Bank of Scotland and the Santander, Societe Generale, and so forth. And that this group now controls about 70% of world finance. And they're, in a sense, this is the new name for the British Empire, and I agree with what you said about globalists. They're not, you know, the British Empire is not just British, certainly not the British people. It's this Anglo-Dutch, New York often, and the effort to get the United States to serve as a imperial kind of power has been a battle which right now, unfortunately, are both the Bush-Cheney crowd and Obama are all too willing to allow the U.S. to be a British-style imperial power, including the destruction of our own country. But this Inter-Alpha Group is attempting to get Germany, especially, and a few other countries, to bail out their massive derivative speculative bubble, as, unfortunately, we already have been doing here in the United States, not only our own derivative bubble, but even the European derivative bubble, which we now know from Bernie Sanders' revelations. A lot of the U.S. bailout money went to these British and European banks. But the Germans aren't going to put up with it. There's every reason to believe that the Germans have reached a point where their constitutional court may not even allow it, but even their political leadership, and especially their financial minister, Schäuble, is saying, look, we're not going to do it. You're not going to double this $1 trillion fund to $2 trillion, as the British want to do. And they're up against the reality that the cancer is eating up the patient. There's not any economic growth left, let alone economic production left, to eat up the way these financial oligarchs have been eating it up in order to sustain this massive, huge speculative bubble worldwide. They're running up against the fact that the only way they can maintain this is committing literally the kind of, I think you have to call it genocide when you look at Ireland, when you look at Haiti, when you look at what's being done to nations who are basically being left to die. And this runs up against the political reality that populations reach a point where they will resist. Remember, the Irish have a very good sense of the evil of the British Empire and are not likely to go down easily. And this kind of movement against this anti-sovereign, as you call it, globalist movement is reaching a point where it's going to go one way or the other. It's either going to go into a total dark age where they go down with it. And keep in mind that these oligarchs may have a vision or a dream that they can run a world of this sort, but they're like the gods of Olympus. The mountain's crumbling underneath them. They're going down with the ship. They're not going to succeed in building this new global Reich. It's not going to work. The only options are a general dark age, or we implement the kind of emergency global reconstruction, bank reconstruction under bankruptcy, where you simply write off this massive speculative derivative bubble and restore American system economics. Here and around the world with fixed exchange rates, with long-term investments from nations, from sovereign nations, into infrastructure development and industrial and agricultural development. These are the issues, the kind of thing we saw Roosevelt do in the 30s by putting the banks under bankruptcy protection, writing off the garbage. Geithner and Bernanke's efforts to print another couple of trillion dollars after having printed about 16 to 20 trillion already to keep this derivative bubble afloat is just creating a hyperinflationary disaster, which can be stopped politically overnight if we implemented Glass-Steagall as LaRouche has promoted.
Well, and I'm glad you rolled around to that subject. I've been trying to locate, I watched C-SPAN, and this was, this has been 3-4 years ago now. Greenberger, who used to be the head of the CFTC, he was giving testimony in front of the Congress, and he was blowing the whistle.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I had that posted on YouTube, and it got quite a few views. And this actually happened under the Clinton presidency. It didn't become official until the Bush regime came in. But in fact, at that time, the SEC didn't even, I think they had seven chairs available on their board, but there were a few vacancies. And you had to ask the question, why was there so much of a vacancy at the Security and Exchange Commission when there was so much work to do? And the repealing that Glass-Steagall Act paved the way for all the speculation and gave them the ability to look the other way while the robber barons went to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And the sad part about this, even the news media in this country, it's not being upright and honest about this, because this is a problem that any quantitative easing or any austerity programs are not even going to come close to touching, because we have a little problem here. 600 trillion to 1.5 quadrillion, and that's a lot of money, that is out there in these mortgage-backed securities.
You know, and other kinds of derivatives, yeah. Right.
Exactly. And what pensions and what has been robbed, where are the municipal bonds, where were they invested? This thing, when it unravels, they're trying to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
Timeline-wise, I'm looking at maybe 12, maybe 18 months that they can keep doing this, and then that will come to a screeching halt.
But it may be more a matter of days and weeks. There are very serious estimates, and LaRouche agrees, that it is absolutely possible that the euro could fall apart before Christmas, that the bubble could begin to implode literally over the coming days and weeks rather than long-term. 12 to 16 months is not exactly long-term. But, you know, that's how intense the explosion is at this point. Spain is about to blow.
Yeah.
Spain is 3 or 4 times bigger than what you have in Ireland or Portugal. And the Santander Bank is basically finished. They had a lot of their speculative money in this Brazil bubble where they were pumping it up as the new great economy, when in fact it's just a massive carry trade bubble, and that is now crumbling very, very rapidly.
Explain to the listeners carry trade. What is that?
Japan carry trade went on for years during the 90s and early part of this century. The Japanese had zero interest rates. People were going into Japan and borrowing huge amounts of money in yen and then just transferring it into dollars and putting into treasury bills or into other countries that had high interest rates and making money by doing nothing, just moving money from zero interest rate into a higher interest rate. And now the U.S. has a zero interest rate. Brazil pays 10-12%. Depending on how you look at it. So people have just been taking, you know, zillions of dollars into Brazil, and Brazil buys it all, pays them high interest rates, and people make money by doing absolutely nothing. Classic speculation.
All right, we'll take the break here. My guest, Michael Billington, and we'll continue this important conversation after this break. We'll be right back.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph?
I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
We are back. Let's get into the meat of the Fed and the Caymans, the new jaw-dropping bailout details. If you would, Michael, let's start rolling into that. And I want to point out at the outset, there was a lot of corporations out there getting bailout money. McDonald's, for instance. Did McDonald's need a bailout? I don't think so. They're selling their Mickey D's stuff in their franchises worldwide. This was cheap, available money to be borrowed, and of course McDonald's has the ability to pay it back. Other corporations around the world. Michael, let's get into this Cayman Island deal.
If I can I give a number out for people to call to get this from us?
Absolutely.
It's our number, which is an 800 number, and from which you can just give us a place to send some of this material. We'll be glad to send you our executive intelligence review and intelligence on this. It's 800-929-7566. 800-929-7566.
Now,
our website.
Okay, please go ahead.
www.larouchepac, LARUCHEPAC for Political Action Committee. .com.
I don't know if you were told this, Michael, but years ago, the original network that I had was Republic Radio International, and Lyndon used to do a program on that network.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he always sent it in canned. It was always pre-recorded. And I liked live and interactive because a lot of people had questions of Mr. LaRouche. I never personally liked his, shall we say, politics, his take on it. But I can tell you one thing. that his executive intelligence review material, the research that he did, was fantastic. And that's the main reason why you're here today.
Okay.
All right? So please, continue Cayman Islands.
We talked before, the Cayman's always been what it is. It's an offshore place where there's no regulation, you can hide anything you want to do, and it's massive, massive criminality. One of the things that Bernie Sanders uncovered by putting this requirement into the new regulation bill, which is a piece of garbage except for what he put in there, demanding that the Fed come clean on how much money they actually put out and what they took in as collateral. Now, so far, the Fed hasn't said what they've taken in as collateral. We know that the vast majority of it is this absolutely worthless mortgage-backed securities and credit default swaps and other derivatives. But one of the things they learned was that, because the Fed did have to say where their money went, that a good portion of it, perhaps as much as a half of the $16 trillion which has been put out by the Fed, which obviously makes a joke out of the so-called TARP, which was, $700 billion from the Treasury. But the real bailout was taking place at the Fed, who was just passing out trillions of dollars. And as much as half of it could have, we don't know the exact figure, went overseas, went to these British and European banks. And in one case, one of the programs called the Commercial Paper Funding Facility literally put 68% of their money into foreign interest, and most of it into hedge funds located in the Caymans. it's laughable, but it's such a huge criminal operation, criminal in the sense that they are literally stealing our current and future revenues of this nation, of our taxpayers, and turning it into basically paying off absolutely worthless speculative gambling losses. That's the way you should look at this. By the biggest banks, the InterAlpha Group and their cohorts, including even this dirty, filthy Cayman Island pit hole. As we said, we're continuing the fight here to get the Fed to live up to what they're required to do by Sanders' new law, which is that they have to say what it is they took in as collateral. And, we know for sure that all they've been doing is bailing out this Casino Mundial, this world casino that's been built up since the Greenspan years began this huge derivative bubble to replace American system economics.
Well, and, we were talking here about who got this bailout money, and there have been 13 different bailout programs of the Fed.
Right.
And, Mitsubishi, Nissan, BMW, VW. VW, my God, these people aren't broke. Honda,
right.
The central banks of Mexico, Bavaria, and Korea.
I agree with you. I would make one distinction. What you said before is right. These companies can pay it back.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's legitimate to be passing out money to these global corporations. But on the other hand, they are corporations that if they continue doing real things, making real things, they can probably pay it back. The greater crime, I think, is buying out these absolutely worthless gambling debts that have, in most cases, absolutely no connection whatsoever to any physical reality. No real company, not even a stock and a bond, which is already far, far removed from physical production. But the fact of the matter is that our economy has become a great big gambling casino, totally dissociated from the physical economic productive process. So you look around our country and most of Europe and you see our industries collapsing. You see agriculture in shambles, and you see unemployment, as you know, skyrocketing. And here you have money galore creating a situation where we are going to have a hyperinflationary bust that will bring down the entire European and American banking system literally within days or weeks. Or a month at most.
All right. We'll take this break. We'll also entertain some of your phone calls at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
University of Maryland law professor Michael Greenberger, he was the head of the CFTC, specifically talking about the Glass-Steagall Act that our wonderful friend from Florida, what was his name? Think of it here in a second. The guy, Michael, that authored the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. I'll think of his name.
Oh, Graham Bliley.
Yes.
Leach.
There
Those
you go.
Those are the three who sponsored that. But actually, you know, Greenspan began the taking apart of Glass-Steagall almost as soon as he came in 87, simultaneous with the launching of the derivatives bubble. And it was only that final blow, which was orchestrated by Larry Summers, by the way, who was Treasury Secretary then, came in 99, but that was sort of the last blow of a series of things that really took it apart and allowed the creation of these bank holding companies and basically the takeover of our commercial banking system by this speculative crowd.
Well, and they blurred the lines between banks, commercial banks, and investment banks.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. All right.
If we were to re-implement Glass-Steagall today, which could be done, which the Congress was on the verge of doing before the election, and they lost their nerve because Obama and Pelosi and so forth basically terrorized the Democrats who were willing to fight for this the way they did with Charlie Rangel and others, to stop them. And unfortunately, they showed they didn't have the courage to really fight it through. So, but if this were implemented, it would mean essentially that you'd divide out all of the junk that's been piled into the commercial banking system. All the stocks and bonds and derivatives and insurance operations would be taken out again as they were originally kept out, put aside. And the government would not touch that stuff. If it meant the investment banks, Goldman Sachs and company went under, so be it. They don't serve any good purpose for the United States. But our commercial banking system could then be saved because we would refine or keep these commercial banks only those debts that represent real investments in industry and agriculture and infrastructure and schools and hospitals and so forth. Keep them afloat, and the government can then issue credit using the historical American system devised by Alexander Hamilton, where the government issues credit. You don't borrow money from a private banking system like the Fed. You issue credit in your own name, but under the restriction of constitutional guarantees that that money is going in for the general welfare and not for personal profit and speculation. And if we did that, we would probably watch most of Wall Street collapse. And good riddance.
Well, yeah. Hamilton was never regarded as being... he was always the one pushing for the national banks.
Right.
And be that as it may, the money itself, to make money off of money, that's what this whole thing is about. And it worked for quite some time, but there has never been an organized society. There has never been a government that has ever used the fractional reserve type of system that's ever lasted. It is a self-destructive mechanism. Let me play this Michael Greenberger. Let's jump in Uncle Sherman's Wayback Machine here. Michael Greenberger in front of Congress giving testimony about, guess what, Glass-Steagall.
Because it was written by the Intercontinental Exchange, handed to the CFTC, and then handed to Congress, does not deal with crude oil. By its language, it appears to deal with crude oil, but the CFTC has announced it will not use that to bring unregulated crude oil markets under United States regulatory control. Why is that? Senator Cantwell talked about the London-Dubai loophole. The CFTC takes the position that West Texas intermediate contracts sold in the United States by U.S.-owned or U.S.-affiliated exchanges, because they have some tangential relationship to either London or Dubai, should be regulated, in the case of Dubai, by the Dubai Financial Services Authority. The CFTC, on May 20th, 2007, reached a decision that it would not regulate Dubai's entrance into the United States markets because Dubai has comparable futures regulation to the United States. What that suggests is when your constituents come to you and ask you, is speculation under control? If you want to leave the status quo as it is, you must tell them, I believe so, because I have every confidence that Dubai will protect those Minnesota citizens who can't go to their summer homes. It's responsibility to the Financial Services Authority in the United Kingdom and to the Dubai Financial Services Authority for 30% of the West Texas intermediate U.S.-delivered contracts sold in the United States of America. That is an outrage. And no one ever bothered to tell Congress when it was working on the Enron and the Enron loophole, which, by the way, in my testimony, I show even if it did apply, it is the biggest joke in the world because it was written by the exchange that needs to be regulated. It puts 1,000 burdens on the CFTC and the public to prove that there needs to be regulation. Prior to the Senator Phil Graham's introduction in the middle of the night of the Enron loophole, every futures contract sold in the United States of America, every futures contract, oil, collateralized debt obligations, credit default swaps had to be traded pursuant to regulation that had age-old and time-tested controls on speculators. In one fell swoop, 262 pages of deregulation was added to an 11,000-page omnibus fiscal appropriation bill as Congress was leaving for its recess in December 2000, and that did not call for better regulation. It called for no regulation. That led to the Enron West Coast electricity crisis. There's no doubt about that. The day before the documents were released evidencing that crisis, on May 15, 2002, Chairman Newsom of the CFTC made a speech that electricity crisis is a supply-demand crisis. Documents were released showing how the unregulated, speculative Enron online trading engine drove prices up 300% in the West Coast. Senator Cantwell's testified about the Bonneville Power Administration. In the middle of that bubble, they locked in long-term contracts, thinking the price would go up forever. When the bubble burst, they had contracts that were three long-term contracts, commitments to pay 300% of the then.
All right, we'll stop that right there, but you get the point. You're talking about Phil Graham and talking about the deregulation. 600 and some odd pages to 11,000 page document. This was done. The first canary in the coal mine that caught its little wings of fire was, in fact, Enron. You saw Arthur Anderson trying to cover their tracks. In the meantime, the people in California were paying outrageous prices for electricity, and they were told exactly that, that it was a supply-demand problem. Now, Enron would still be around, and Arthur Anderson would still be auditing people, except for one thing. The only way to keep this thing going was to keep the speculation rolling. They could not do it. That was the first biggie, Michael, that hit the radar screen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that was an indication. Greenberger was spilling his guts up there. And he was demonstrating of what exactly happened with Enron and then leading up to current day, and I think that was right. About 3 years ago that was right. Done. But
it wasn't first, of course, because as you mentioned, you've been listening to LaRouche for years, and mm-hmm. we've been documenting this stuff going back into the 1980s.
Yeah,
the 90s,
we've had speculative bubbles.
But getting one of these officials to admit it was important. That's where Greenberger came in.
Yeah, and it was really enlightening to see this. This is what has to take place. More people. Responsible people, people that have a conscience, the people that we're dealing with when we talk about globalists or the global elite, they are in their own world. They have their own way of thinking, which has nothing to do with your or I's welfare. It has to do with business and what benefits them the most.
Yeah, they, finance. I don't even like to use the word business for it because it has nothing to do with anything, any physical economy. And let me mention, John, if I can, and maybe we could do another show sometime. That the way that the reason that the vast majority of people hear these revelations about the criminality on Wall Street and their associates and the British Empire and so forth, and they feel somewhat helpless. You have to organize people to understand what we could be doing were we to implement Glass-Steagall and free the economy from these looters. Mm-hmm. And you know this NWAPA project. Have you read about the work we've done on the North American Water and Power Alliance project? Are you familiar with that?
No.
I mean, this was this huge project developed in the 1960s by the Parsons Company, which was really ready to go, and then the country was basically torn apart in the 60s and 70s, and it never went anywhere. But this is we're championing this policy as the kind of TVA of the current era, like we had the TVA in the 30s to help build our way out of the Depression. The NWAPA would bring down huge quantities of water from Alaska and the Yukon into the Great American Desert. You're in Montana, right?
No, Texas.
In Texas, okay. Well, it would bring the water down through that whole area, including northern Mexico, which, of course, is very water short, and not only provide water to virtually double the agricultural land in the United States, but by introducing water, the The estimate is that every drop of water you bring in generates about 2.7 drops of water in rain and the cycle that begins when you start to introduce water into dry areas. So you literally change the climate, not like these climate change fanatics who worry about, you know, non-existent carbon pollution and so forth, but really change it positively with man's creative genius being applied to transforming the biosphere through the mind. And this kind of project, which could put 3 to 4 million people to work virtually overnight, building the canals, the nuclear power plants, the high-speed rail, the reservoirs, and, of course, all the industry and agriculture that would come out of it, this is what we could do virtually overnight were we to get rid of this trillions of dollars being thrown into the black hole of speculation and start putting federal credits into really building the economy, building up the productivity of our population through these kinds of projects, training people to work, putting our vast unemployed into the kind of work that we could do.
But
and we have a lot of videos on our website about this project, which I think your listeners would love to see.
Well, but Michael, isn't this a fresh take on infrastructure rebuilding? The way I'm looking at this right now, this would be akin to the works projects that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did during the Depression. I mean, it put people to work. They earned a living. But this was through the government, and these were for projects that, well, it has its yields for sure. But we're talking about putting money into things that don't make any sort of return. And by that, I mean it's not a business that produces widgets or a service.
No,
that
huge return, John. Look at the TVA. The TVA transformed that one of the poorest areas in all of America into one of the most productive. We had the Oak Ridge nuclear facility went there. We built dams throughout the region, locks on the rivers. We tamed the water. We transformed the agricultural capacity. We built industries, built new cities. And this was the kind of federal investment which is not to own or run businesses, but to direct credit the American system as opposed to the British free market, free trade, deregulation stuff that you've just accurately described. You direct credit into those things which benefit the general welfare and make it possible to increase the productive power of your workforce, of your population, their education, their health, but also their ability to master and use scientific discovery to advance the productivity of our country and really the whole world, because this stuff spreads internationally.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I understand that this is a way, but I'm not sure. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm not sure. The free market generally decides what it needs. And the problem I'm having is any time that the federal government has ever touched anything. Now, you hold out the TVA. I mean, don't tell the people in Tennessee about eminent domain and the takeover. Yeah, there was benefit. But I have a problem here when you have the master planners coming out of Washington, D.C., and doing for the public once again. There's a natural flow to things. When you're dealing with a true free market, the free market will demand and make what it needs to continue to do business. And
well, let me say that the cover story of this week's Executive Intelligence Review is Alexander Hamilton's Economics Created Our Constitution. And I encourage everybody to call in, go to our website, or call our number, and I'll give it again. It's 800-929-7566, and get this. Because the point is that private entrepreneurs are not capable of generating the kind of basic infrastructure which is absolutely essential for private entrepreneurs to be able to invest and build their productive capacities. They can't assure a well-educated population. They can't assure a healthy population. They can't assure the transportation networks, which are national, which have to be guaranteed. And they can't guarantee the power that's needed, which obviously has to come from the best and most cheap and advanced forms of power like nuclear and eventually fusion. You need to have a government which, rather than saying, let's turn over everything to the private banking interests to determine how they would like to run the economy, and instead have a national policy run by elected officials and responsible to their constituents who make sure that the nation directs its credit not into speculative operations as we are today, but into productive enterprises. That's the American system. That's what made America capable of freeing itself from the British and European colonial and imperial systems and made it possible for us potentially to build a world on the basis of that system, which we could do again today if we had a Glass-Steagall approach domestically and internationally in the terms of returning to fixed exchange rates so you don't allow the international bankers to speculate against nations the way the Cayman Island hedge funds do and bring down governments that refuse to follow orders from these central globalists. But these are, we have to take responsibility for that. It's not going to come from nowhere.
Well, and you just described, and callers, I'll get to you here in a second. Don't go away. You described earlier that, you know, infrastructure is important, but I'm having a hard time accepting the fact that I'm going to have government planning now. And I'm not going to deny that the power grid, which these are all privately owned, they did not put the money back into their systems. They did not go out there and build power plants. Of course, we saw the forces at work that were against nuclear power. What do we do with the used fuel? And on it goes. Well, I think France came up with a few ideas on that
one. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, there's no argument.
Actually, we came up with it, but the French used it.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, there you go.
Reprocessing.
Yeah, but again, I'm very, very wary of involving grand planning on a scale like that and in the hands of the government. It just rubs me the wrong
way.
Well,
there's going to be government, you're going to have government programs, government policies. The issue is, what are they going to be? Are we going to have a government which actually lives by our Constitution, that's truly committed to the general welfare of our population and our posterity, as our Constitution called for? Or are we going to, under the British model of free market, free trade, deregulation, call that freedom when, in fact, it's not freedom at all? It's the international financial institutions having the freedom to control and destroy the national credit. We're a creditary system as a nation. That's what our Constitution is. We're not a monetary system. Money doesn't run our government and our economy, or at least when it's running according to the Constitution, it doesn't. It's run by credit, by the idea that we as a nation can direct that credit into those things that are actually needed to make this a strong and powerful nation and our population productive and well off.
But again, I'm reticent to hand this off to the grand planners coming out of D.C.
Well,
which
I agree. Don't hand it off.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a citizenry that's willing to fight for its future if you're going to have a government that's responsive to a citizenry. If you have a population that's been dumbed down and drugged up the way ours has, you know, since the 1960s, then you're going to get what you deserve.
All right, let me roll these calls because they've been holding. Let me go to Jeff in Missouri. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, John, I hate to take you off topic, but...
Well, then don't.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me?
Don in Ohio. Hello, Don. Don?
Thanks, John.
Don, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I never heard the beep.
That's well, because Jeff in Missouri was thanking me for not having the ability to speak. Go ahead.
Now with Ron Paul having the chairmanship of this subcommittee, financial subcommittee, monetary subcommittee, whatever, would he have the power to basically put a hold on the Feds getting rechartered?
Are you talking about the Federal Reserve? Yeah. The charter is up next year.
Right.
Well, it's possible. You know, you do have a situation. Bernie Sanders, what he's done so far is very useful. It's not a solution, but it's certainly very useful in exposing the crimes that are out there. And Ron Paul does have a subcommittee chair for the first time and has, you know, been a pain in the butt to the Fed for a long time and could do some useful work.
Well, and let me, Michael, let me go... hear that I've said this before. Look, the FedGov and the Fed Reserve has got us into a monumental problem that there is no solution. There is no solution that they can come up with for the self-created problem. And I've been a strong advocate here of state banking. Until such time that we can ferret out, do the investigation, do all of that stuff to lay it out on the table, to take a clear look of what the FedGov and Reserve has done, I'm an advocate for state banking. Still being fractional reserve, lower rates, but that money circulates back within the state.
Right.
I would love to see all 50 states do this.
Well, we had it. You know, that was also one of the things taken down earlier after the savings and loan mess. You know, they basically did away with restrictions on interstate banking, and as a result, the big money center banks in New York gobbled up the savings and loans and a lot of local banks, and now you have these massive national banks that dominate and basically loot regional industry, regional agriculture, and turn those funds over into these speculative enterprises. I agree with you 100%. That was the original intention of the government, was to have federally charted but state banks and absolute restrictions against the kind of national banking. I'm not saying against a national bank.
Right.
A national bank does not mean that you have national banking. That would be based on having state banking, as you promote.
Right.
A national bank whose role is to assure that the nation's credit is not being wasted in speculation under Glass-Steagall-type restrictions.
Don?
I don't see them actually, you know, like in Ohio, I don't see, you know, them, you know, going out of their way to start a state bank. What do you think? Get like a petition to put it on the ballot or something like that? That we want our own state bank and it's going to be run. You know, I mean, basically show the people that North Dakota had one and look how, you know, they're doing. And you know, if we could get it on the ballot and you know, vote for it and stuff like that, we could also put rules in there that they cannot take 90% more than what they take in, and you know. Stuff like that. You think that would be a ballot initiative that would, you know, be a worthwhile thing to do?
It won't work within the condition of the current total collapsing financial situation here and in Europe. You have to go with the whole thing. Either we implement Glass-Steagall and save the commercial banking system, or nothing will succeed and work to try to patch together. Look, we're heading into a dark age in the very near term. It's a pace of collapse which is just astonishing. And the current collapse of the Obama administration is something we should take advantage of and help to move this guy out of office and into a straitjacket someplace that we could get the decent Democrats and decent Republicans who recognize that the physical economy is being destroyed and do the emergency measures needed. Then we can work out things like how to restore state banking and so forth. But we've got to save this country.
Don, got to let you go. We're out of time here. Michael, I appreciate you spending the time with us.
I enjoyed it. I'm
okay.
Glad to be on.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. And as a friend of mine just sent me an email, he said, rock and a hard place, theoretically correct, but factually dubious. Example, LaRouchians will not admit that National Socialism did precisely as the Roosevelt administration and more successfully. We'll see you Monday.
Gold.